Okay, we are in Cheres Halvavas Shar HaBitachon, Perek Dalid. In my Lev Tov edition, it is page Shin Lamed Tes. Okay, let's begin again from the there's a sentence that we began with toward the end last night. Another important attitude for a person with bitachon who truly trusts Hashem when it comes to his parnasa is k'sheyis'akiv mimenu ateref yoyim min hayamim. If things are slow, if his needs are slow in coming in one day at some point, should say to yourself, the one who brought me into this world at the precise moment that he planned, right? We elaborated on this a bit yesterday. Hashem planned the precise moment that I should be born, that my life story should begin. And he did not take me out a moment earlier or a moment later. In the same way, like we said, the reason that things are slow now is not because Hashem got busy with other things, but it's all part of his master plan for you. It's part of his master program that is tailored for your neshama's needs. And part of that is this ordeal. So he is the one who is keeping my needs from me now up until the time that he sees fit. And the reason he's doing this is, again, it's not because Hashem needs the resources for something else right now, but because this is what's best for me. Hashem is unlimited. Hashem has billions in his hand, and he's focused on you right now, and he's out for your interests. If he is not handing those billions over to you, it means that that is what is best for you, what's best for you right now. And the same holds true if the parnasa comes in very tight. There's nothing extra. It's very tight. It's exact. So here is, again, you should think to yourself and say, the one who provided me with the food that I needed in my mother's breasts in the beginning of my path, he never gave me a bank account that would cover me 2 weeks ahead even. You weren't even covered for a week ahead. You were pretty much provided with the needs for one meal at a time at that point, right? So it's kifitzalki v'day kalkalasi yom yom. He provided me with what I needed each day. Until he moved me to a different source of sustenance. Meaning, today, my job might be my source of sustenance. At an earlier point in life, it was my parents' pantry. At an earlier point of life, it was my mother's breasts. So Hashem provided, at that stage in life, he provided for me in a very, very precise kind of way. I didn't see my food for tomorrow in front of me. And then he decided, okay, now we're moving on to a different stage of life. Once you're a child living in his parents' home, open a pantry, you see a full pantry, a full fridge. Excuse me. This is already not a feeling of, okay, I have what I need for the moment, And then as you matured and you started earning your own money, sometimes you'll see 10 years at a time ahead of you, set aside, ready. Sometimes you'll see 1 month at a time. And sometimes perhaps it'll be very, very tight and exact for the moment it works. So don't be worried about where is it going to come from later. So just like then, when Hashem provided for me on a day-by-day basis, a meal-by-meal basis, that worked fine. So this is what he's doing with me now. And if a person can live this way, the realization that Hashem is feeding me on a meal-by-meal basis, I have my breakfast, I know I'm going to have my lunch, I have what I need for today, I know that Hashem will provide me with precisely what's good for me tomorrow. A person who lives that way is rewarded for that attitude itself. Meaning, it's not just an issue of putting yourself at ease, but this is an attitude that a person gets rewarded for. Because we see that this is how Hashem conducted the affairs of our forefathers in the Midbar. This was how their affairs were run. Right? Each day they went out, and what was provided for them? Exact needs for that day. And that was how they lived on a day-by-day basis. And this was there for, this was done this way for a purpose. Hashem didn't provide man a month in advance for you to keep in your pantry. Each morning you went out, you got that day's provisions. The idea was that Hashem wanted to train them to live with that sense of being fed by Hashem, with that sense of dependence on Hashem. This was the way Hashem wanted it set up. And you see that Hashem, so to speak, nostalgically remembers those days. Those days of closeness when you lived at my table, I fed you meal by meal. What does Hashem say? Omar, the Pasuk says, Haloich v'karase ba'ozni Yerushalayim le'mar. Go and call out in the ears of the people of Yerushalayim, saying, and this the continuation of this pasuk is the famous song, Koyamar Hashem, Zochati lo chesed noraich, Avas klu leisoich, Lechtecha charei bamidbar be'eretz leizro. The famous song, right? What is the meaning of that song? Hashem says, I remember for you the days of your youth, the dedication of your youth. That's what chesed noraich means. The love of the early days of our marriage, when you followed me along in the midbar in an unplanted land. See, we think back of the Dara Midbar, the people in the time of the midbar. We think of all the criticisms that were leveled toward them in the Torah and think that that was a generation of troublemakers. But actually wasn't the case. I remember I was once at a Sheva Brachas. And person speaking spoke about how the story where they came to Mara, they started complaining that there wasn't water. They went for 3 days in the midbar and they came to Mara, there wasn't water, and they complained. And Hashem provided Moshe with a branch that he made the water sweet, they were able to drink. Okay. So this person was speaking at the Sheva Brachas and he said, it can't be that the pasuk cannot be understood literally. People, were shown the 10 makas would be complaining because they don't have water. Because they don't have water, can't be. And therefore, he said, Chazal say that the problem was that they were lacking Torah. It's not just an allegorical explanation. It can't be that they were just expressing their lack of water. It can't be. Must have been that they meant they were missing Torah, this, that. So I couldn't help but think to myself, this person, as he was speaking, he was leaning on a bottle of Coke, the bottle of Coke on the table. And he was with his hand on the bottle of Coke like this, and he's leaning and he's talking about how it can't be that they complained because they were lacking water. They would have been on a higher level than that. But let's note for a minute, let's try to think of this in realistic terms. they complained for a lack of water. What are we talking about? You know, you read in the Torah, they traveled for 3 days and they didn't have water and they started complaining. Oh, where's their patience? Yeah, because you read that they traveled for 3 days. It takes 5 seconds to read that. But you think about what it means to go for 3 days without water in the Midbar, not knowing where there's going to be water. And think about the fact that we're talking about thousands and thousands of people with families, with young children. And these people went for an entire day, right? They didn't give their children, didn't have water for their children. They went for an entire day without complaining. If you think about it in realistic terms, that's astounding. No one complained. Of thousands and thousands of families with young children, no one complained an entire day without water, and then another day, 2 days without water, and then three. Then they started complaining. And then Hashem provided the water. It's not a, like, how I was supposed to understand that there would be so much materialistic as to complain about water. Yeah, when you're leaning on a bottle of Coke at a Sheva Brachos, and you read in a couple of seconds how they've traveled for 3 days. Oh, I could have done that. It takes all of a few seconds to read in the Torah. They couldn't hold out for longer than that. If you think about it in realistic terms, this is actually a glorious description of the greatness of our forefathers. And Hashem is actually, so to speak, expressing himself nostalgically about the great faith that they had. They held out for 3 days until they started complaining. And Hashem thinks back to those days nostalgically. So now, okay. Oh, okay. Now we move on. Also, if a person receives his sustenance through some unlikely source, from some strange place, or through a particular person, let's say your panasa comes about, you're being supported, you have no choice, you're being supported by somebody you'd rather not be reliant on. If you're a person's father-in-law, rather not be reliant on them. But right now, it's the only means of panasa. Or some other circumstance that's like a compromised kind of circumstance. I have my panasa, Baruch Hashem, but it has to be dafka through this weird job. It has to be dafka in this weird setup through this person that I don't feel comfortable with. You have to realize that this also is a part of bitachon, understanding that not only the parnasa itself and how much of it you'll have, but also the means through which it comes to you is all a part of Hashem's precise plan for you. This is all part of that. So, therefore, you have to, Yom HaBeliboy, once again, say in your heart, Asher Yitzharani al Tzura v'tavni sutchuna umido, mibli shara tzuris v'atchunas v'amido yisutakona simyoni. The same way Hashem created me, in a very unique way. Nobody else has my face. Nobody else has my voice. Nobody else has my precise life circumstances, the conditions into which I was born. So he set me up with a very unique life package in terms of physical characteristics, in terms of emotional constitution, in terms of my unique personality, in terms of my own collection of talents and weaknesses. This all is Hashem's precise plan for me. In the same way, also, he planned the place that I would make my appearance, exactly where I would be born, where I would grow up. He also selected the two people who would serve best as my parents. The same goes for all other life circumstances, even if they're more transitory. Just as we understand that Hashem created my personality, my strengths and my weaknesses, my physical characteristics, because this was his unique plan for me. The same goes for the sometimes with the smaller things. Bitachon is not as apparent. This just seems like an annoying technicality that, you know, my boss has to be the type of person that you just don't feel comfortable with. But understand that this is all part of Hashem's very precise, custom-made package that he put together that is to be your life story. Like the Pasuk says, Tzadik Hashem b'chol derochav. Hashem is righteous in all of his ways. When you have to put the emphasis on the word all. There is nothing too small for Hashem. The same way the big things in my life he's conducting, also the small irritations, the small things that we think of being talking in the big life things, but also the small things, the things that I wish this could be a bit different, etc. These are all part of his plan for you. Okay. The next subject that we'll see is how you apply bitachon. Up to now, we're talking about parnasa, which is the most natural place that we think of in terms of bitachon. But now he's going to talk about bitachon also in terms of our social reality, our social dealings, our family situation, etc. We'll see Be'ezus Hashem next week. We'll end here now.